See, corrupt government officials, they were taking bribes to grant citizenship. So often government can be very corrupt. They say power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. They say that leaders, they want to gain power, increase power, and stay in power. That's why Jesus trusted himself to no man, because he knew what lay within man. All men are liars, Jesus said. You have to realize that. Basically, with that sin nature, they'll get away with what they can get away with. So you be cautious. You be cautious.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 22 with a message titled Riot on Zion.
Blessed because we came. You will be blessed because we came.
Mount Zion is the place that God puts his name. That's where the temple was there in Jerusalem. And if you remember Paul, his long desire was to preach to the Jews. And so here was his chance. He was there with the church in Jerusalem, and they said, Paul, you know, you've got a bad reputation here that you're against the law. So, you know, if you take a Nazirite vow and help four of our Christian brothers and go into the temple and just show that you're not against the law of Moses and circumcision and all that we're doing, our ceremonies and stuff, and that'll be good. It backfires. It creates a riot there in the temple area, temple precinct. And so this commander Lysias grabs Paul. He takes him out of the midst. Otherwise, they would tear him to pieces. Actually, the Roman legion, they would be right there. And they're going up the stairs to this area. They overlook the courtyard. And Paul says, can I speak to them? Lysias said, you speak Hebrew? Well, he's speaking Greek to him. And he said, yes, I do. I speak Hebrew. So he begins to speak and begins to give his testimony. Now, the Antonia Fortress, where you find the guards are and the Roman legion, and you find them really overseeing and keeping the peace there, especially during feast days. Up the stairs, Paul is right there. And so he begins to speak. He gives his testimony. But he gets to a place where he's talking about what God spoke to his heart, that flee Jerusalem because they're not going to receive your witness. And that was 20 years ago that Paul is saying. And now Paul's back 20 years later, and he's speaking to them. And so as he's going on, and finally, he talks about Stephen being stoned and how even Paul at that time approved of that. And then he said, God said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And whenever he mentioned the term Gentiles, that's when, again, you find them. If there is such a thing as a re-riot, they did. They re-rioted. They rioted again. And it says in verse 22 and 23, and they listened to him up to this statement, and then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. And as they were crying out and throwing off their cloaks and tossing dust in the air, then we find Lysias gets involved and rescues him again. Here's a question I have. Think about it. Where's the church? Where's the church at this time? I mean, if you found maybe one of your leaders, if you found Pastor Carrie or Pastor Ed, you know, people wanted to tear him apart, would you just kind of hide in the shadows? Or would you come to the rescue? Would you say something? Would you speak up? Hear the church. You don't see them. They're nowhere around. And this mob wanted to kill their fellow Christian, Apostle Paul. And notice the secular authorities, they moved to help. They moved to help Paul where the church is pretty much silent. Church in Jerusalem. But remember when Paul got there, what James said about the church, which I think is interesting, and you can do a whole sermon on this. In chapter 21, verse 20, it says, and Paul was talking about how God moved among the Gentiles, and they heard it all and began glorifying God. And they said to him, "You see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law." Thousands that believe, they're zealous for the law. Where are they? Where are they at this time? You see, that's an interesting thing. Whenever you put something next to or by the side of Jesus Christ, yeah, I'm a believer in Christ, but oh, am I zealous for surfing? There's a problem. There's a problem there, and you're going to compromise your witness. Oh, I'm a believer in Christ, but I'm zealous for my career. There's going to be a compromise there. You're not going to be everything that God wants you to be. Or, oh, golf is my passion. Well, you see, whenever you put something side by side here, the Lord, you're going to find that a compromise will take place and weakness will come in. And that's what I think we're seeing here in the Jerusalem church. It's weakness. It's weakness. I think about Lot. Remember when the angel came down to Lot to actually rescue him? And Lot hesitates. He hesitates and he sees these angels of the Lord. He brings them in, and then the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, the young and the old, they're beating down the door to get at these angels, to have relations with them. And Lot comes out and he tries to placate, he tries to quiet them down to no avail. And then they say, you know what, we're going to treat you worse than we were going to treat them. And the angels grab Lot and, you know, shut the door, lock the door on him. And then you find that somehow Lot alerts those that were going to be his daughter's husbands, his sons-in-laws. They weren't married yet. But the Bible says that they looked at Lot and they assumed that he was kidding. Lot had lost his witness because he had compromised. They didn't believe him, and here destruction was coming. I think in the end days that we're living in now, I wonder if people would believe our witness that, yeah, Christ is coming back. And who knows that what's going on planet Earth now is simply the prelude of the rapture taking place and God judging the earth. I wonder if they believe our witness by the way we live. Well, they didn't believe Lot. They rescued him, but didn't believe him. And then there's a very salacious story after that, what happens with him and his two daughters, but we won't go into that. But I'm just thinking, what's going on in the church here? Where Paul, they want to rip him apart, and you don't find anybody standing up for the witness of Christ. Now, the unsaved Jews in Jerusalem, they tolerated Christian Jews. And many believe they thought it was just a sect of Judaism, or kind of maybe a branch, an offshoot of Judaism. And when Gentiles would join the faith, they would become proselytes. And to become a proselyte, you'd go through that process of ceremonial cleansing, circumcision, and the rituals that you go through, and then the Gentiles would be proselytes to the Jewish faith. And so they always believed that if you're going to become a Christian, a sect of Judaism, then you have to be a Jew first. You have to become a Jew to become a Christian, because all those in Jerusalem were. I mean, they were all circumcised. I mean, that was their culture. And so they, you know, they lived pretty much coexisted together without a problem. But now Paul comes along, and Paul preaches a gospel that, you know, no holds barred. This was the true gospel. Paul was saying that God makes Gentiles into Christians without making them proselytes to the Jewish faith. Paul is saying that that both Jews and Gentiles are equal in God's sight, and they can come to faith in Jesus Christ the same way with faith. That's what the Jews didn't want to hear. They thought they were above the Gentiles. There was such a prejudice, and that prejudice comes out. We see it here, that the Jews are made for the fodders of the fires of hell. So they wouldn't have anything to do with the Gentiles, or the Gentiles made for the fodder of hell. That's the Jewish terminology. And so when Paul is saying they're equal in God's sight, and you both get saved, you both come to God, you're both loved by God through Jesus Christ, that's when they lost it. That was too much for them. And so the riot begins again. Then verse 24, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks. That's the Antonia Fortress, that one area there. And stated that he should be examined by scourging so that he might find out the reason why they were shouting against him that way. So here again, rescued by Lysias. Lysias seems to be a good guy, secular guy, good guy, helping Paul, at least in this situation. And he doesn't understand what Paul said in the Hebrew or the Aramaic language. He didn't understand that. And so he takes him and he's going to find out. He's going to, and they had a certain way of examining them. It's the Roman form of interrogation, and it's called scourging. It would be the ancient way of waterboarding, you might say. But waterboarding doesn't leave scars. I mean, it freaks people out because they think they're drowning. But afterwards, you know, they're, you know, obviously we've barred that now, but to get information to save lives, it was a good way to do that, but there are a lot of controversies, so they don't do it anymore. But this is torture. This scourging is torture. And so he wants to find out the reason for the riot. But this form of torture, you see, whenever they would lay that flagellum on the back of a person, they would lay it harder and harder to extract the information that they needed. And it was called a cat of nine tails, a cat of nine tails, or a flagellum. And it was leather straps, nine leather straps, and there was sharp metal and sharp bones attached to the end, so it would give it weight at the end, so you can really swing it and lay it on the back of an individual. It was attached to a sturdy wooden handle. And they would give you 40 of these lashes and less one for what they would say mercy. It would drive a person, some people would go mad, they would go insane under the lash. Others would die under the lash. Jesus endured 40 lashes minus one. He was scourged by the Romans. And that's what they're about to do with Paul. They would lay it harder and harder on that individual to get all the information they wanted. But you know, when they scourged Jesus, when Pilate had Jesus scourged, the Bible says, as a lamb was silent before its shears, he opened not his mouth. Why? Because he didn't have anything to confess. He was sinless. And so here's Paul. They're ready to do this to Paul. And so notice in verse 25, and when they stretched him out, and that's what they would do. They would stretch him out to get a good angle, you know, taut body, so it would hurt all the more with thongs. Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" Lysias was in trouble. "For you to scourge a Roman citizen uncondemned without trial, you're in big, big trouble. First of all, it was illegal to bind with chains a Roman citizen without trial, and especially to scourge." Big trouble for Lysias. Now, notice Paul. He speaks up for his rights. One of the commentators said, there are times for a believer to claim his civil rights. That's true. We need to. They had a rally on Friday down at the state capitol. It got a little, I don't know about wild, but it got a little loud. But they were protesting, and they were making a point that you're really bordering on violating the constitutional rights of the people. So you see, there is a time for that. There is a time to stand for civil rights. Now, Paul did that right here. But Paul didn't always do that. He didn't always do that. In fact, in Philippi, at least not at first, he didn't. In chapter 16, remember when he was in Philippi and we find that Lydia was saved, and then Paul and Silas, they'd cast the demon out of that woman that had a demon, was making much money for her handlers in telling fortunes and telling the future and that kind of thing. And then when they complained and they went to the authorities took Paul and took Silas. And you can see it in chapter 16, verse 22, and the crowd rose up together against them. This is Acts chapter 16, verse 22, Paul and Silas in Philippi. And the chief magistrate tore their robes off them, pretty much like this mob is doing here on the Temple Mount, and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. Why didn't Paul protest here? Hey, wait a minute. Is it right for you to beat Roman citizens when we haven't even had a trial? He didn't do that. I don't know. Maybe Paul was so sensitive to the Holy Spirit because he simply lived in the Spirit of Christ. He simply lived there. It's an amazing thing when people live in God's presence, how they really sense that the leading of the Lord in certain things. And maybe the Holy Spirit didn't prompt Paul to say, hey, you're a Roman citizen. You know, this is illegal. Didn't do that at all. We don't know why. It doesn't say why, but I think I know why. At least my interpretation and my speculation here. Remember, they threw him into the inner prison? Now, I don't know if Paul actually had a word of knowledge what was going to happen after that. But when he threw him in there, about midnight, an earthquake, they were singing songs, singing praises unto God. An earthquake came and the prison doors were open. It just collapsed the prison. But the prison guard was going to commit suicide. And Paul says, don't do it. We're all here. And then that prison guard was saved, him and his family. Ah, that's why, probably. Now, I don't know if God revealed that to him, but you see, God usually leads us a step at a time. Okay, I'm not sure why God is leading me right here. Not quite sure, but I really feel confident that's what he's doing. And then the next step and the next step. But I mean, leading to go to prison and be beat and all that. Well, Paul lived in that sense of the presence of God. And so now when you look in hindsight of what happened, you have to realize that Paul had a sense of that divine calling. And was the beating worth the family of that Philippian jailer and his family being saved? Oh, I think if you asked Paul, he'd say, oh yeah, right on. But then afterwards, notice what happens. When he's going to be released, now he protests in verse 37. They wanted to come down and release him when they found out he was a Roman citizen. And Paul said, they have beaten me, or they had beaten us in public without trial, men who are Romans, and have thrown us into prison. Now they want to send us away secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and bring us out. So Paul is putting a little salt on the wounds there, maybe teaching him a little bit of a lesson there. Yeah, you got away with it, but you know what? I could report you to Caesar and some bad things can happen to you. Oh, and they would. As we go on, we'll see. But as we go on, verse 26, goes on, and when the centurion heard that Paul was a Roman citizen, he went to the commander and told him, saying, what are you about to do? For this man is a Roman. And the commander came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? And he said, yes. And the commander answered, I acquired this citizenship with a large sum of money. And Paul said, but I was actually born a citizen. Now, you see, Roman citizenship, it wasn't easily had. Now, the Roman government under Claudius had become very, very corrupt. And many historians say Claudius's wife was very corrupt as well. She was kind of in charge of filling the coffers, you know, with money, corrupt money. And you see, often Roman citizenship was by right of those of high status. If you're really up there in the echelon of status, or if you had influence in your office, they would grant you Roman citizenship. Or maybe by reward, you're serving the nation well, the empire well, and they might grant you citizenship. Or if it was passed from father to son, which basically was the situation with Paul. You know, you have a history, your grandfather and then his son and now your father, and it came down the line. And so you're a citizen by birth, you might say, here in the United States, born in the United States, you're a citizen by birth. But you see, corrupt government officials at that time, they were taking bribes to grant citizenship. Likely, that's how Lysias got his citizenship. Some will point to Claudius's wife, you know, and she's filling the coffers with this corrupt money. Because notice Lysias, he added to his name Claudius Lysias. That was the name of the emperor. In other words, he wanted favor with the emperor, so he changed his name, put Claudius Lysias in front of it, ingratiating himself to the emperor and giving the corrupt money. That's why he couldn't understand how could you ever have citizenship? It cost me a lot. You see, with that corrupt government, so often government can be very corrupt. And power, they say power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. They say that leaders, they want to gain power, increase power, and stay in power. That's why Jesus said he entrusted himself to no man, because he knew what lay within man. All men are liars, Jesus said. You have to realize that. Oh, there are some good men and women, but basically with that sin nature, they'll get away with what they can get away with. So you be cautious. You be cautious.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 22, titled Riot on Zion. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 23. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.